the McDonald's Viking Trail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
I guess this is the time when I start talking. Right, Coach? I was waiting for you to take the lead. Yeah, professional act. Alongside Vinton County Boys Basketball Coach Matt Coles, Carl Knox here, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing. Certainly appreciate you checking in with us and getting caught up on all things Vinton County Viking Boys Basketball, the Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Taping this broadcast extravaganza on Monday afternoon, January the 20th, if you care. Coach, big smile on his face. What? Well, I was going to say you're coming off of, you know, a couple, you know, some nice wins here, and you're immediately thinking I'm going somewhere that I shouldn't.
Oh, I don't know why I would think that.
I mean, normally I'm very serious and very professional about this entire thing.
I know it.
I've spent hours upon hours doing prep work for this thing. I didn't have to work today, and you realize I rarely get a day off, but when I do, I dedicate it.
I apologize. I should never question your professionalism. I know that. Mm.
So you're doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Looking at it's nice, you know, not to have a game tomorrow and have to worry about this weather. You know, normally the weather only hits when we have a game. So
why would you worry about it? Because it'll throw everybody. Yeah. Are they calling for white death again or what?
Oh, it depends who you talk to. Cold temps. Real cold temps in the morning, I guess. Maybe some snow, but no Tuesday game for the Vikings.
Okay, so that right there ought to put the fans at ease. They know that they don't have to look on Facebook or hear gossip and wait
or drive home in what you drove home in after that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, and we will get to an actual show and give you some informative information, but Friday afternoon, you guys had early dismissal, and it was kind of, there was a point in time there. I know you were jockeying around on the phone with people over at Nelsonville, but you got that game in. And then Saturday night, you know, when I went into the gym Saturday night versus the Alexander game, everything was fine.
Oh, I know. And then it just hit.
Yeah, it was. And I just have to drive up a hill out just right outside of MacArthur, probably a 2-minute ride normally from the high school. And I thought about you. I did. And actually, I got to see your lovely wife and talk to her. And I, you know, unfortunately, obviously, when you got two boys, it's not like she can make it to all the games. And she was there at the Alexander game, had a long conversation with Amy. And, I was thinking, I saw Amy and your mom, and I'm thinking, wow, for someone that's got to, you know, pack it all the way back over to, well, you're not even in Chillicothe. You're halfway to Dayton. But anyhow, you know, I'm sure that was a interesting ride home for all you guys.
Yeah, it was a little lengthy ride. Had to take it slow that night.
Yeah, well, but you did talk to your to Amy, like I said, and we were talking about the boys, and she did indicate that, I don't know if it was earlier that afternoon or a day before, that she was starting to get worried that someone was going to call Children's Services in on her because I guess both of them were acting up, and she was just like, the weird word, now she was obviously saying this in jest, but so I was like, to a point I was about ready to kill both of them.
Yeah.
And I offered up my vice. I said, well, why don't you just cap Matt too and make it a trifecta?
So glad that you could. Well, I know she was leaning on my mom for some parental advice, and mom basically just told her that I had to beat Matt for the better part of his life. And then, but I don't know that we're going to take that approach. But
when you were little,
like when I left for college, I don't think mom stood on the doorstep and cried. You know what I mean? She quickly ran into the house and started remodeling the bedroom.
Not to make it your dad, who's a prince of a man. I don't know your mother at all. If I've ever met her, I'd just hug her and cry. But she was the bad cop, was she the disciplinarian more so than your dad?
Well, yeah, they. Yeah, I mean, they both had their moments of it, but you didn't mess with mom too much. She you know, mom was a stay-at-home mom, so when I was younger, so you know, that was who I was around all the time, and she didn't take any she didn't take much of an attitude. I got to guarantee you that.
Well, here you go. I've heard stories. I've heard you taking baseball bats to Shane's head, or
no, no, that was the other way around.
Oh, yeah. Shane took a bat to your head.
Yeah, yeah. It's usually the younger brother that's crazy.
Okay. Well, that's it for the
Combs biography. I don't know how we got off on that
domestic segment. We've got a lot of games to go over here in the past week. Hopefully, Viking fans, all three of you that listen to this podcast, got a chance to enjoy some of these home games because you're coming off a nice long home stretch. And we do want to make note. We don't know if he's going to be calling us or being here in person. We hope he's going to be here in person, but as part of our Hall of Fame, Athletic Hall of Fame inductions, none other than Dustin Guthrie will be joining us here shortly, and we'll be talking about that later in the podcast. But to get right down to brass tacks, so to speak, got three games to go over in the past week. Going back to last Tuesday night, January the 14th, as you welcome in the River Valley Raiders, not yet in the TVC Ohio, but as they are there making that move from the OVC to the TVC Ohio, that's next year.
Next
right?
year, yeah.
They come in and you guys take care of business last Tuesday night. Final score 61-34. Really a game that I know River Valley's down, but it seems like they've always, in the years you've played them in a non-conference situation, they've always given you a decent game, or at least a competitive game throughout stretches of that. But you come away with a 61-34 win, outscore them 20-11 in the first quarter, go into the locker room in halftime 32-20, extend that lead to 43-25 after three quarters, and then outscore them 18-9 for that final 61-34. The Vikings led by senior Alex Owens with 15. Austin Lambert comes off the bench and cans a bunch of trays. He has 12 points. Chase Wood has 7. Max Ward has 8. Bo McIntyre off the bench has 4 points. Ryan Slopko has 2. And Tyler Bartow off the bench with 5 points. Also for the Vikings, you shoot 43% from the field. 47% from beyond the arc, 50% from the free throw line, and 29 rebounds and 8 turnovers as you guys come away with a nice win. But just quickly, your thoughts on the River Valley game.
Well, I mean, they're a team that, you know, that I think's in a rebuilding situation. But, you know, they play a lot of 3-2 zone, and, you know, that's something that we haven't seen a lot of this year. But, you know, I thought our kids adjusted to it pretty well as the game went. We won all four quarters, which is good. Give River Valley credit. I mean, they hung in there early with us. And, you know, like you say, it was a 12-point game at halftime. We were able to pull away a little bit in the third. So I thought it was a good win for our team, getting to see a little bit of a different defense, what we've seen in the past, you know, gain some momentum. We talked about this being kind of a three-game season this week, and that was the first one, so we needed to get off to a good start.
Well, you know, win's a win, and with that, you extend your record, you know, keep going in the right direction. And this past Friday night, January the 17th, Coach Jay Klein and the Nelsonville York Buckeyes, they come in, and I think the last time, correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, last time that the Nelsonville Buckeyes played over here, wasn't a real good night, was it?
No. Thanks for bringing that up, Carl.
It's okay. That's what friends are for.
Obviously, last year, at the end of the year, we had to play them the week of our tournament game as a makeup. And like you say, we didn't come out on the good end of that one. And we had played them earlier this year and had a really good shooting night, shot the ball real well, and knew it was going to be a lot tougher game over here. You know, they're a pretty solid basketball team. They have some athletes. They're pretty good defensively. They play really hard. And I made the comment, I thought at times they played a little harder than us the other night, to be honest with you. But I thought when the game was on the line that last 5.5 minutes, I thought our kids made some real nice hustle plays and did some things defensively that probably swung it in our favor. And we were able to pull away there a little bit late in the fourth quarter.
Final score was Vinton County 55, Nelsonville 45. And you did mention early in the game as the Buckeyes came out and outscored you guys 15-10 in the first quarter. And I don't know what it was. And you just have that with any team, let alone an inexperienced or a younger team. And I think you probably agree with me is that this Vinton County team is – and I know you're working on it, and you can preach and talk and do it, but they're kind of like a box of chocolates. Sometimes you just don't know what you're going to get. You get a fiery team in the first quarter that comes out raring to go, and other times they seem a little flat. And it didn't seem to me like Friday night versus Nelsonville that we might not have had the same degree of emotion early in that contest, and you come out and you lose the first quarter, and then the second quarter you outscore them 22-8, and it was just like a completely different thing. Was that something said between quarters or in a timeout that you made an adjustment, or was it just a motivational thing?
Well, you know, I don't remember saying anything specifically between quarters other than, you know, we just needed to shore up our defense a little bit. They were driving the ball on us a little bit and breaking us down off the dribble in that first quarter. And, you know, I don't know. I watched the film. I don't know that we were flat, but like you said, maybe we weren't as you know, full of energy as we were the couple days before against River Valley or last weekend against, you know, Wellston, Zane Trace. But I thought that we, you know, we held ourselves in there and then we're able to shore up our defense a little bit and hit some shots there in the second quarter and kind of swing things. You're not, it's tough. I think there's going to be nights where you're not, you don't have quite as much bounce in your step maybe. You wish you did every night, but it was an odd day with the early dismissal and obviously, you know, kids kind of sitting around, are we playing, aren't we playing? You always worry about that and the focus and, but like you said, it was a huge second quarter for us. I think we outscored them maybe by 14 points in the second quarter, which really, in hindsight, because they made a nice run at us in the third and early fourth, so really that second quarter was probably the difference in the game.
Yeah, for the Vikings, Jordan Albright leads all scorers with 19 points. Tristan Bartow comes off the bench and has a really nice shooting night with 11 points. Max Ward has 9. Ryan Slopko with 7. Chase Wood contained only 7 points Friday night versus Nelsonville, as they did have some size and they banged pretty well down along the block. And one thing I was going to mention, Ryan Slopko, I know he's starting, and then you're kind of rotating Tristan in and out of there, but I it seems like his defensive effort, his defensive play from the beginning of the season till now has just been a whole, you know, he's really doing some great things on the defensive end of the ball.
Well, he's improved as a whole, really, just getting some games under his belt. I've seen a lot of improvement in Ryan across the board. But you're right, defensively, I think he's made a commitment. I think that's really the reason our team's been better the last 2 weeks is you know, we talked to guys like him and Alex Owings and guys that needed to get back to being defensive players first. And I think you're right. I think they've made that commitment, and it's helped our team defense as well.
Have 21 rebounds total for the Nelsonville game. One thing that stuck out to me, 17 turnovers. And I know that Steve Little and his crew that come down from the Central District, and they're a fine bunch of officials, but they call it tight. But, boy, it seemed like that there was a lot of slot both ways, not just you guys, but Nelsonville in that game. But when you see 17 turnovers with a team like ours that maybe might not normally have the offensive production that we you know, have in the past, is that something that concerns you a lot?
Well, yeah, I mean, you never want that. I think you got to give some credit to Nelsonville. They sort of play an in-your-face style, tough, hard-nosed kids. You tend to probably have more turnovers against them than you do most people, but, you know, 17's too many against anybody.
Okay. Well, and then Saturday night on January the 18th, a makeup game versus the Alexander Spartans and one of your old coaching pals, Coach Jimmy Kearns, in his first year with the Alexander Spartans. As they come over and you take care of business, 57-33, the Spartans came into that game, I think, with a 7-3 overall mark. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It might have been 8-3. I think they'd won 6 in a row. They won the night before.
Yeah, they had a big upset win. Well, I don't say upset, but a big win versus a 2-point win over Meigs that Friday night. Right. I think it was a low scoring, like a 35-33 game. Right. So you knew they were amped up. You guys come in and answer the bell and take care of business with a 57-33 win. You know, just thought basically Alexander's, it's kind of a different look to see what they are doing now versus what they were doing with Blaine Gabriel. There's some similarities, but some differences, but just your thoughts on the game.
Well, Alexander has become, I think, a really good half-court defensive team in their man-to-man. They do a nice job. They did a good job of helping in the post, and we weren't able to quite take advantage of maybe our size advantage against them. And so it came down to our guards having to make some plays, and once they did, that opened up Chase there a little bit in the second half. But Alexander, they've done a nice job. They've had a good season so far. Like I said, they'd won 6 in a row and came into that game at 8-3, and I think yeah, it's a program. They've got some young kids too, probably a little more experienced than us because a lot of those kids played all last year. But at the same time, some young kids that are coming into their own, and they're a tough team to play against. They're good defensively. They execute their offense. You know, they're not going to just give you. You know, they're not going to just just give you easy opportunities all the time with turnovers or with breakdowns on D. You're going to have to earn it against them. And that's why that game was close for a long time. I mean, I think we were up 9 at halftime. And really, through the middle of the third quarter, was a pretty tight game. And then we were able to pull away right at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, one thing I think does deserve being mentioned, they were without one of their I think their point guard was out.
Right.
Friday night, he rolled his ankle down at Meg's, and I was talking to someone. Well, actually, I was talking to the former coach, Blaine Gabriel, who was at the game visiting with him, and him and Mike Chapman, one of the school board members, said that the kid was going to be out for, they thought, about 2.5 to 3 weeks. So, yeah. Hope he gets better soon, but that's, they were playing without one of their normal starters. For the Vikings, Alex Owens has 15 points. Jordan Albright has 17 points. Austin Lambert comes off the bench with 2 trays for 6. Tristan Bartow has 3 points. Max Ward with 6, and Big Chase Wood has 8 points. 43% as a team from the field, 9 of 13 from the line for only 69%, 20 total rebounds, and you limit your turnovers to 6 6 for the entire game. So a lot of games going on, and we did have to take a little break somewhere during this first segment. I'm going to have to go edit that, but the big guy upstairs, my Labrador, who's also doubles as a doorbell, we had a someone at the door, and it happened to be no other than Dustin Guthrie.
Well, he's obviously a good watchdog. You get a shady character like Dustin sneaking up on your house, you want that dog to react. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just, we raised Max to think of people like Dustin as just raw meat. But coming up next, we'll talk to one of the latest to be inducted into the 2014 Vinton County Athletic Hall of Fame, 2008 graduate Dustin Guthrie. He's next on the Viking Realm Ball Podcast. Back on the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Be it before or after the game, McDonald's in high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Episode number 33, if you're keeping score, alongside Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox. Very excited and happy to welcome in one of our old buddies. We could use a few more of you back on the team. Dustin Guthrie, 2014 Vinton County Athletic Hall of Fame inductee. How are you doing, sir?
Glad to be here.
It helps when I turn your mic on.
You didn't turn me on?
Yeah, you're on, buddy. Well, not like that.
No, it is good to be here, though. I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, you are now graduated. I know after a 2008 graduate of Vinton County, you went on to UNO. What is that? University of Ohio?
University of Northwestern Ohio. It's up in Lima.
Right. Now, we had you on two or three years ago, and you were talking. You were right in the junior, senior year, something like that. But you've now graduated from college. What's your bachelor's in?
I have a bachelor's in business administration.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a four-year degree, obviously. And I moved on. Just got a new job about a month ago. Started working for Job and Family Services in South Central Ohio, and based out of Chillicothe.
Right. So you're making money. You're living in the real world.
I'm starting to make a little bit of money living in the real world, but it's probably a good thing that I finally grew up and helped my parents out a little bit. They've been getting on me for a little while beforehand. So.
Well, I know that. I talked to you actually a couple months ago, right before you got that job, and you were saying you were kind of working a part-time thing, but doing what you could. But finally got the good job with Job and Family Services. I know it's early in the career thing, but how do you like what you're doing?
I like it a lot because I'm a people person, and I have the opportunity to help a lot of people coming in and out of there. You see a lot of different people and people that are very appreciative of what you can do to help them and their family. So, I like it a lot. It's I'm a step in the right direction, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, these guys that come out of college, sorry, Carl, I interrupted you, but it's kind of a scary time to come out of college right now.
Oh, yeah, with the economy
and trying to find a job, and I think in most fields these kids coming out of school now, you have to have those thoughts in your mind like, man, I've just busted my tail here for 4 years, and am I going to be able to find anything,
What were you, the part-time job, you were working at some logistics center or something up around Rickenbacker?
Yeah, it was called Zulu. It was an online retail store, and mm-hmm. I was doing that. I worked there for about 4 or 5 months living up there in Columbus while I tried to find another job that would have to do with my degree
that
I went to school for, and luckily enough, I had some help from a few people here and was able to get it.
Yeah, I heard the references you used for this job and family services gig were pretty shady at best. But seriously, I mean, I'd like Matt said, it has to be a little bit of a humbling experience. As, you know, it goes in cycles. You know, you're in high school, you're a big stud, you go away to college, you're nothing. You work your way up, you finally get your bachelor's degree, and then you're like, oh, what now?
What to do now?
Yeah.
Exactly. It is very
but
humbling.
Was it pretty, I mean, of all the different places you applied when you're trying to get a full-time gig in the business world, were there not a lot of opportunities out there, or was it very competitive when you did get interviewed?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Like you said, the way the economy is, there's not a lot of jobs out there. But what I want to do, I want to be successful in a successful business area. So the jobs that I would try to apply to, they were very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good candidates coming in and out. And the thing was, I didn't have a lot of experience or no experience in that field coming straight out of college. So it was hard for me to determine what I need to be doing, what I should be doing. But I mean, I'm lucky enough to find a good job now. I'm stepping in the right direction, and I'm just looking forward to the future from here.
Well, and that's the big stuff, you know, as far as the Athletic Hall of Fame, you know, that's great and everything. But let's go back and talk a little for people who have just maybe were in a deep, deep coma, you know, 6 or 7 years ago that didn't hear the name Dustin Guthrie. 2008 graduate of Vinton County High School. You are third all-time in games played with 79. You're second all-time in points scored at Vinton County Consolidated High School with 1,152 points. You played varsity 4 years, 2005 through 2008. Had a point average of 16.2 points per game. Your senior honors, there's a slew of them. All-TVC Ohio, first team Southeast District, first team District 13, and third team All-Ohio honors. You played, like I said, 4 years at UNO. You graduated in 2012, 2013?
Yes, 2012.
So you did it in 4 years.
4 years.
Which, anymore, that's a testament.
Yeah.
And then you were a member and the captain of the 2008 District Championship team. When did you find out that you were going into the Athletic Hall of Fame?
I honestly had no clue about it until probably 2 weeks ago when it was announced on Facebook, and my mom had seen it because she's always on Facebook trying to keep up with all the drama, and she's seen it on there, and she actually informed me. But whenever they announced the nominations, I had heard something from a past teammate, Andrew Ebers,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that it was just for our team was getting nominated up for it. I didn't really have much thought about it. But I mean, it was like you said earlier, it was very humbling and exciting experience for me. I didn't know much about it until my mom said something. But then it still hasn't hit me yet. I feel like this Saturday, the first, or next Saturday, the first. I feel like it'll all start to draw in. And I'll be able to realize a little bit more.
You know, as far as the Hall of Fame goes, you know, obviously it's special and everything like that. But I don't know if you realize it or not, you're what is referred to as a first ballot Hall of Fame inductee, and that I don't even know if it's ever happened, or it probably has. Matt, do you know if they had any first
ballots? Not sure. No, I'd have to look back and see. You know, you have to wait 5 years, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to be out of school for 5 years. So, but if it has happened, it's a rarity. And you know, the committee, which is a very secretive society, you need to get into the committee that votes on the Hall of Fame. You know, there's a sacrificial ceremony, and it's a very big deal. And I don't want to say anything because I might get whacked. But seriously, being in the Hall of Fame is a true honor to begin with, let alone be a first ballot Hall of Fame. But going back memories, I know obviously the 2008 district championship where you guys took care of business against Coach Van Meter's Greenfield McLean Tigers, and that had to be a stepping stone. But now that you're an old guy, you know, that you're out of school, you know, it seems like in some ways it seems like it's been forever ago, in other ways it seems like it's yesterday. But just some of your memories of your athletic career and just going to school here at Vinton County, and some of the things that you think about.
Well, I was actually thinking about that earlier, before I came up, and I can remember the first time that I stepped foot on the Vinton County High School floor, and the last time I actually got to be able to play in a Vinton County uniform, which wasn't the best way to go out. But like you said earlier, the 2008 district championship team, I remember that game just like it was yesterday. I remember the last shot that, not trying to be selfish, take any credit, last shot that I hit that put us up by 2 points with less than 10 seconds left,
mm-hmm.
and then we got the stop to win the game, and it was just such a humbling experience, and it was like I get goosebumps just thinking about it and talk about it now. But that was probably one of my most fond memories of playing high school basketball for Vinton County is the first and only district championship team.
Now, a couple episodes ago, we had one of your old buddies, Jake Prater, was in here. Mm-hmm. Part of that Where Are We Now? We still do that occasionally, and Jake was – we were recounting memories of that, and obviously Jake was a junior when you were a senior. But that group, and maybe this is a better question for Matt, and I know you don't want to say, well, this is my favorite team, but obviously a team like that, that was a high-octane team, you know, very just talented, good kids – You can use a lot of different adjectives to describe them, but what was your recollections going back of that team? Because it was loaded and it was full of not just talent, but coachable people.
Yeah, you excuse me. Yeah, you you mentioned Jake and Dutt. You know, that's a pretty hefty 1-2 punch in the post. You know, normally you don't have that two kids that have size but also have skill offensively, because Jake had skill in his own right. I mean, he was a good shooter and obviously he was a nice complement to Dutt. I mean, they worked well together, and when you had that helped, because we had some inexperienced guards that year. You know, we had a couple guys that were sort of playing their first big role on varsity. We had a sophomore point guard playing varsity for the first time, so we those guys were certainly cornerstones of that. But that's the basketball part of it. But they were great kids. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I've said all along, you know, you're really, if your best, you're really as good in terms of your attitude and your approach as your best player is, you know. And what I mean by that is, if your best player is a hard worker and coachable, then everybody else is going to fall in line and do that too. You know what I mean? Because if they see Dustin, and using this team as an example, back in 2008, if they see him willing to be coached, willing to put the extra effort in, they're like, well, this dude's all Ohio and two-time player of the year, and he has to work hard. I better work hard, you know. And, you know, I've had teams where – I've been fortunate here where most of my teams have had good attitudes, I think. And but, yeah, you know, Dustin was always really good at never really getting the big head. That's probably a credit, too, to his mom and dad, but a credit to him as he got older to stay humble and not get to a point where – you know, hey, I'm pretty good here, and maybe I can just sort of go my own way. He was always a team guy.
Well, and when you went off to college, and I know you are humble, and like he says, I'm sure that has a lot to do with your mom and dad. Whether it sometimes was in a nice way, and sometimes it was, a little tough love. But did you find that, you know, that ethic that you had in high school, when you went up to college, did you get humbled real quickly?
Definitely, because once you go from high school to college, you got to take a step back and realize that everyone there is just as good or better than you, just as quick or faster than you. So you have to be able to take a step back, open up your eyes, realize what you can and can't do, and work on your strengths and work on your weaknesses and try to become a better player because of that. But don't let anything off the field or off the court or whatever the sport is, don't let that come into the factor of what you're going to do on the court and with your teammates.
You know, this is kind of off the wall, and it's kind of odd for me to say this, but when you're talking about your great parents, so I actually, your mother is, I think, you're younger than me, Mary Beth, and then your dad, Frankie, from over in Albany, who's the Guthrie name, is a household name in the Alexander School District. The other both still young people. We could use some more Guthries.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if we can have any more of that.
I'm just throwing it out there, you know.
Is, if you talk to my mom about it, then she'll agree totally with you, but she'll try to tell you that I'm the one that needs to be producing those and bringing it.
Well, I tell you what, we
don't really care who did it. Just get it done.
No, trust me. She's been
you don't get this on a radio show, do you?
She's been pushing me for the past year or so. And
Here's the thing. Not stealing his turn, but here's the thing. If there ever comes that special woman in your life, before there's any wedding, and obviously not only do Matt and I want to come, we're going to sing beforehand. but before we give our blessing, we want to see DNA charts. We want to know athletic accolades of this girl, because I don't care if she's a supermodel. If she has no athletic ability, you know, all of us guys, we're going to nix
maybe
that.
A 6'3 former Olympian, something
nice.
Like that. I mean,
we're not putting
any pressure on you.
Yeah. That'd be nice, but I'll definitely keep you guys informed and keep you in the loop.
I'm sure we'll be right in the heart of that decision for you.
You know, as far as now that you're out of school and everything like that, you know, and I know that when I was little, you when you saw kids that were good in high school, little kids look up to people like you, whether you know it or not. And you probably had the same thing when you were a little guy. When you go to Vinton County games, you're like, oh, and I don't know who the players were at that time, but you know, they're kind of, you know, you idolized them. But what you've been through, the highs, the lows, being humbled, you know, being out in the real world, being challenged, things of that nature. If you had to, if you have to give some little, you know, some eighth grade runt, some advice, what would it be?
I feel like I would just tell him that regardless of whatever happens in life, you can always bounce back and become stronger from it. Use all the bad things that happened to you in life, use that as momentum to push yourself forward and be successful in the future. No one can determine your future besides yourself. And if you set your mind on something, then you feel like you can do it, and then you can get it done regardless of the situations.
Okay, that's good advice. You have anything?
No, I'm just enjoying listening. It's good to see Dud again, and you know, I don't get to see these guys as much anymore, and I don't know. He used to come in and play a little ball, but then he had that surgery. How's that coming, by the way? You back to playing at all?
I mean, I'm trying to get back into the play. I need to get in shape because I've been putting on some pounds, but it's never going to be full strength, but I mean, it's about as good as it's going to be. I'd like to get back in and help you a little bit if that's the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll bring in the has-been team. You'd probably be on the top of that. You'd be the all-star has-been, but you're still a has-been.
I might need a wheelchair to get out of there. So I have to bring one of those with you.
You blew out your ACL, not in college, but you were playing in a Gus Macker.
I missed the last 8 or 10 games of my senior season because we originally thought that I broke my ankle, but it's turned out that it was worse than a break ankle. I just tore every single ligament in it.
Nice.
So I was out the last 8 to 10 games of that, and so that set me back for about a month or two, or a couple months actually. And then as soon as I became healthy again, I was playing in a Gus Macker up in Cambridge, and it was outdoor on the asphalt courts, and I just planted my foot wrong, and it just snapped, gave right out on me, and from that point on, it's just been never the same.
That was not this past summer. That was two summers.
That was 2 summers ago. It was about a year and a half ago. It happened in June, so 2 years this June.
You knew when it. You knew what when it happened. You knew exactly.
I knew instantly because I never had a serious injury like that. But I felt it pop, and the referee that was standing right beside me, he told me that he heard it pop. And I'm very stubborn whenever it comes to sports, and I want to compete regardless of the situation. So even though I knew I was hurt, I tried to get back in and play, and it was just not a good idea. So I think it made it worse. And then from that point on, like I said, I knew it was a torn ACL. And that's where I'm at right now.
Favorite Matt Combs story?
Oh, here we go.
I don't know if I can say it.
He asked everybody this.
Man. I don't know if I could say it.
I thought we were going to slide by without this today, but
I kind of wish we would.
I'm not going to be a slave to the clock, okay?
I mean, try to think of one. You can edit this, right? So I'm trying to think of one.
No, that's okay. I can edit certain things. I mean, well, okay, look, let me rephrase it. Favorite tellable Matt Combs story?
you're making it. It's kind of narrow options.
You know he's a kinder, gentler coach now.
I know the one that really comes to mind, which I'm not going to say this on the air. It's the one about whenever I was playing Chillicothe, and we need to feed him big old juicy something.
Okay. Well, I do know that. It is a consensus. Do you make it back to many games?
I haven't been to any games this year. I've been since I had my new job. I've been kind of out of town, meeting up with some old friends I haven't had the opportunity to see. But I do plan on going to couple games this season. I'm planning on going to all the tournament games, so I do need to get back into it and try to see the new upcoming talent that we have.
Would you ever consider coaching?
I would. I've talked to my dad about it a couple of times because he coaches the junior high now, right. And he's had me come in a couple of times and help him out. I would like to coach sometime if I have the opportunity to help not just the young kids but the school that I played for. I would love to have the opportunity to do that. Anytime I have the chance to do that, I mean, I'd be more than willing to do it.
And when we had Jake in here about a month or so ago, he made it very evident that he would be interested in it, but he didn't think he would be very effective, I think, coaching younger kids. If you had do you have a preference? I mean,
I really don't have a preference. I feel like I can relate to kids from third grade all the way up to high school because I've been through all that. I've been through the ranks.
Right.
And I've been through the struggles and everything like that. I wouldn't mind starting at a young age just to – because I feel like that's when kids learn the most. They're like a sponge at that. And they're in the third and fourth grade when they first start playing. I feel like that's when they draw the most in. But also, I would like to be able to coach the high school because that's where it's the most competitive. And that's where I miss playing basketball the most on my high school floor with all my friends because I know how tight of a unit it can become. And if you have a close-knit group of students and athletes, and then you have the coaches that they can relate to and the coaches that they actually respect and want to learn from, then it can be like a blessing to the whole program.
Well, now that you've got a kind of a day job and things are starting to slowing down in your life, you know, kind of consistently, you got a kind of a schedule. I think that'd be great to see you back coming in. Wednesday nights is normally when the has-beens. I don't even know if the has-beens have been
Well, the has-beens can't come in when you're playing 3 days a week.
That's true. You can't be doing full-out scrimmages on Wednesday night when you're coming off.
It might kind of be over this year, but.
But no, that would be interesting to see. We got some young post players that probably could be taught a thing or two down on the block.
And I've seen them, and they have the potential and they have the talent to. If they all the thing they have to do is work hard the next couple of years that they're in school and just take everything in that they can from all the coaches, and they're going to be successful at it.
And I think Matt would agree with me. Not only they got potential athletically, but they're good kids. Mm. They're coachable kids.
All
they're
good
not
individuals. Good
Well, you know, there's a good chance we may get a hold of Dustin this summer and let him work with Chase and Max a little bit, especially Bo Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Cottle's coming off this injury. He's going to need some work too. You know what I mean? Of course, we got Andy playing the post this year. So we've got several that could put the work in, and with the new rules, with the new OHSA rules, we can work with them four at a time now, you know, in the off season. So that's nice too. But Dustin would be a good one to come in and work with them.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you stopping in. It's always good to see you in person, whether than doing it over a phone or Skype or anything like that, and wish you the continued best of luck. And again, once you get that girlfriend, Coach Combs and I, we want
Just touch base with us.
We established. Thank you. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, thanks. Dustin Guthrie, he's a 2014 first ballot inductee into the Vinton County Athletic Hall of Fame. Up next, we'll talk about some upcoming games here on the Viking Rumble Podcast. Back on the Viking Rumble Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, go eat you some. Alongside Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox. Appreciate you joining us again for episode 33. Coach is in a hurry. He's got to get the practice. And the things we had to talk about between segments with our guests are just enlightening and fun, right?
Yes, yes.
Wholesome. Always
solving the world's problems, Carl.
Yep. Talking about having him back in, talking about kids and skill sets and
yep.
Other things that we can't mention, but anyhow, you got some games coming up. This has got to be odd for you. You beat Alex, you know, here at your place this past Saturday night, January the 18th, and then you've got a whole week. You did mention earlier in the podcast that you do not have a Tuesday game this week, but then your next game, and I don't know if you can even remember this ever happening in your career, but you have back-to-back games against the same opponent, And, of course, then we also got the Megs game to talk about. You got a road trip to Alex this coming Friday, January the 20th, and then a road trip to Megs.
Megs at our place.
Oh, Megs Saturday as a home. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I got that to look forward to. But anyhow, you know, how do you – I mean, I know you're a coach that doesn't – you know, you like to focus on the next game and then that's it. But I'm sure you're going to be talking about Megs a lot this week. But what do you do in a week like that when you're playing the same opponent you just came off of?
Well, I mean, it is a little bit odd. I think we're going to focus a lot on ourselves this week. This is really our last week of practice where we can really – you know, focus on some things we've got to get better at in terms of really drilling fundamentals, because after this week you're playing Tuesday, Friday, Saturday the rest of the year, so almost all your practices are kind of game plan oriented. But obviously we're still going to prepare for Alexander. You know, the high school kids, they'll forget everything by Thursday, so we'll have to, you know, go over the same stuff again. But it is a little bit different. Alex has got a game tomorrow night with Logan, so they'll kind of have it broke up a little bit for them. But for us, it is the back-to-back same opponent. But, you know, I guarantee Alex is going to come out fired up because there's a lot of pride on that team. There's a lot of pride on that coaching staff, and those kids are good kids, and they fight hard. So they're going to be ready Friday night, I'll promise you that.
Well, and conversely, just as you've got a week to retool everything and kind of correct some mistakes that you've made and, you know, work on fundamentals, things like that, they've got, you know, I think they do have a game tomorrow night, but they're going to be, you know, kind of laying in the weeds for you and fresh off a loss, and that's still going to have some sting with them. So that, and then of course, you know, we did mention Alex with a 2-point win over Megs this past Friday night. You know, Megs coming to your over here to our place Saturday, January the 25th. I know we previewed, this is a makeup game. I think it was originally scheduled for like January the 3rd or something like that.
Not only is it a makeup game, it was originally scheduled at their place. We were supposed to play them February 7th at home. And because of a gym conflict with them, we needed to keep this date. We were running out of dates, so we flipped sites. So if people look at their schedule and see February 7th home against Megs, that will now be at Megs.
Okay.
And this game will be at home this Saturday. So Saturday night, home against Megs, later in the year, February 7th, that's away.
That's some tricked up stuff, I tell you.
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to go to Megs Saturday, but they had a conflict with their gymnasium, and we were going to have to change the date again, didn't want to do that. So this was the best case scenario for everybody.
Well, I know we've talked about it several episodes ago, and it never happened, but just quickly recount the Megs Marauders, Coach David Kite in his second year down there doing some good things, but what kind of team, what kind of a style of team type of player are you looking at with Megs?
Yeah, they have some athletes. They're an athletic group. They defend pretty hard. You know, that Alexander game was 37-35 the other night, and both those teams are pretty good defensively, and you can see that in that score. But they, you know, Megs is athletic. They'll get out in passing lanes. They'll pressure the ball. They've got some kids that can, you know, can score it, a couple in Caleb Sheets, and then a couple athletes around him. So, you know, they struggled this last weekend. They lost a couple tough ones. So I think we might be like their fourth game this week. They play something like Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday or something. Whoa. This week. Yeah, it's a weird deal with the makeup. So I don't know, you know, however they're doing right now, they won't be doing that way Friday because they got three games, or Saturday. Jeez. They got three games before us. So, but I know they're, you know, David's done a good job down there with that program, and it'll be a battle, I'm sure.
Well, you know, and David, I, you know, as well as he's doing, he's obviously not the cream of the crop of the Kite coaches. You know, I know his younger brother has done marvelous things.
Let's face it, the Bob Kite would be the cream of the crop in that group.
And he'd tell you that. But
NJ and David are fighting for second to Big Bob.
I heard back in the coach's office, if it wasn't for NJ, your program would be in shambles.
Well, I mean, that's not saying a whole lot. I mean, I've pretty much rode the coattails of my assistants for years, but you asked me to say who the cream of the crop was in the Kite family.
Yeah, I forgot. I realized that Bob's now kind of out of coaching. He's still an AD, but he's coached literally everything underneath the sun in his career.
I'm just telling you, he's the only Kite I'd trust.
Yeah. If you ask NJ, NJ's more of a psychologist than he is coach. Professor
psycho
himself.
Or psychologist?
No, psychologist. Oh. He thinks of himself as a psychologist, and he has one patient in his practice, and that's you. And he says that takes up all of his time. But we have another game that next two. Now we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back before that. Yep, Friday, Saturday this week.
Friday, Saturday. You going to practice?
Getting to practice.
What are we doing today at practice today, Coach?
Same thing we did last Monday at practice.
Which is?
I can't give that away.
Oh, come on. There's only three people listening to this.
I know it.
Maybe one of them might be David Kite or Jimmy Kearns.
So. I actually just forgot. That's why I was just trying to play it off, but thanks a lot.
I figured. I've actually sat here and tried to tape this thing with you, and you're sitting there on a little piece of paper, and you're writing
jotting schedule.
So you don't have the schedule?
I've got it, but I didn't memorize it.
It's highly confidential, and you could tell me, but you'd have to kill me, and you don't want to do that. Okay, well, I guess I'll live without knowing what you're doing at practice. Thank Dustin Guthrie for dropping in and visiting with us again, and congratulations to him for his 2014 Vinton County Athletic Hall of Fame inductions. We'll let the coach get out of here, and we appreciate you listening once again to the Viking Realm Ball Podcast presented by McDonald's, and we'll talk to you next week on the Viking Realm Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Realm Ball Podcast.